Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The conversation must have been quite interesting when God was speaking with Adam, and Adam was responding in a manner that reflected that he was not afraid to be in the presence of the holy. And a responsibility was given to him, and that was to name all the animals, and there they were, marched before him. And if we can picture what that would have looked like, we might rightly say that he pointed and said, there is a bull. And over there's a rooster. And then over there is a stallion. And through that whole process, not only did Adam name, but he also learned. Throughout observing the fact that for every bull there was also a cow. For every rooster there was a hen. Each stallion had a filly. In other words, together there would then be procreation, more of their kind. But he also took notice that there was no one for him. No suitable helper for him. The Hebrew word there says of such great magnitude and wonderful importance, there wasn't anyone to fill that role. Because quite frankly, nothing was going to fit. There was no one whereby there would be interaction with Adam, that through that interaction there would be another of them. And so God had put Adam into a deep sleep. And from the flesh of his side, God made woman and brought her to Adam. And there, I suppose we could say that the first wedding vows were exchanged. This is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman, for she was made from man. Now there was someone suitable. Now there was someone who would fit. There was one by which his biology and her biology could unite together in the blessed interaction whereby God's gift, there could then be another of them. And then there was a most unfortunate act. A notion that is complicated by the I want syndrome. I want to be like God. I want to be as wise as Him. I want to be the one who makes the decisions. And if I'm told that if I eat from this tree, I will be as wise as God, and that's what I want, then that's what I shall do. And she ate. And she gave to her husband. And I don't know that we can conclude anything other than he held in his hand that of which he was forbidden to eat, and concluded that it would be better to willfully and walk wantonly into her condition of lostness than to live the rest of my life without her. And so he also ate. And that condition is what's now carried on. Each and every time the blessed act of husband and wife is brought together, even surrounded by the most pious love, where in union God makes another of them, what also comes from them is what they did. There is another sinner born into the world. There is that which grows itself up in our lives that we can't shake, no matter how hard we try. No matter how much we want to walk the walk of righteousness and holiness, it is beyond our grasp to do so. And it has affected this wonderfully, divinely instituted office of holy marriage. And it's infected with the I syndrome. And I don't know about you gentlemen and the ladies who are with us. I look at you and I admire you. In my relationship with you and my conversations with you, every time I'm with you, I am very proud of the office that you hold, the responsibilities that you carry, and I, putting the best construction on everything, see you as holy and saintly people, men and women before God. But I know my life, and I know what has happened to me and the I syndrome in this relationship of marriage. And I'm also not so naive as to know that you and I were brothers. We're brothers who were born from the same flesh. And so you carry an Adam that I carry. One who is able to convince ourselves from time to time by listening to the old Adam in its very seductive way that it convinces us of what it wants is right and good, to take that life of commitment for the other. And that life of commitment for the other is, what may I be for you? What is it you need me to be for your sake, for your benefit, for your well-being? And we turn that into, no, it's my money. No, it's my time that you're asking. No, it's an intrusion of what you're asking of me above and beyond what I am comfortable doing. And because that's who we are, and it's what we fall prey to, there's another husband who says, there's no one fit for me. Just as Adam would have been able to say, I've looked at all the animals, I've named them, you've done a wonderful job creating them, they're quite unique and marvelous, and I am amazed at everything they can do, yet there's no one fit for me. Would that not also be the fitting words of Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, to his Father saying, Father, look at them. Look at them running around wanting and wanting and doing whatever they can do in order to manipulate and bring out the certain outcomes that they have justified using the ways of the world and their own old Adam. Father, there's no one fit for me. And it wouldn't simply be that Jesus would be complaining and saying that. He's absolutely right. And here's what's incredible. How Adam took of that forbidden fruit and willfully walked into Eve's fallen condition. So now does Jesus look at us and willfully walks into our condition. To we who are not fit for him, he then stoops to the depths of our flesh. Born of the Virgin Mary, so that he could suffer by the hands of Pontius Pilate. Willfully becoming sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we could be fit for him. That we could be made the righteousness of God. And the extent that he was willing to go in order for that to happen. The ring that we gave him didn't sparkle with a diamond. It was crowded with pokey thorns that sunk deep into his skull. We didn't hold his hand during the nuptials. They were being held by the nails on the cross. He didn't stand before a beautiful altar. He stood on a pedestal where his feet were covered with blood. It wasn't a well-tailored tuxedo. If there was any clothing at all, it was that skimpy garment stained red with his blood. It flowed from his body for that ugly woman called me, so that he could make me fit for him. So he could make you his precious and holy bride, cleansing you with washing by water in the holy word of baptism, presenting you before himself as radiant, without stain, without wrinkle, no blemish, because he has removed it, holy and blameless, forgiven and redeemed, and now procreates. Procreates through her in baptism, nourishing those children with the Lord's Supper, singing lovely songs of marriage in the holy absolution, as Eve was to submit to Adam. Now we, the blessed bride of Christ, the church, gladly repent of our sins. We confess them before our Lord, our husband, our gracious God, for the purpose of a restored relationship with the Holy Husband, Christ our Lord. And now we can love. We love with an unconditional love. A love that resembles our love for ourselves. A love that shares only one flesh and confesses one Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.